Hebrews chapter 6. This is a time out from the rest of the book. This is not carrying forward so much the themes of chapters 1 through 5, nor is it really the theme that comes after. But this is the writer of Hebrews saying, hey guys, I need your attention. I need your attention. Therefore, leaving the basic teaching of the Messiah, let us move on toward maturity. Do you see the theme there? Same thing, that theme that came out in the worship there towards the end. Let's move forward in maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of trust in God, of teaching about immersions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now this we will do if God permits. What will we do? We'll move on, right? That's what we'll do. That's what he's saying. This we will do. What will we do? We'll move on in maturity. Time to grow up, he's saying. Time to grow up. And grow up from what? Well, this was my sermon a few weeks ago, so I'm just going to capsulize it real quick. Won't spend as much time on this, on these verses. Grow from the foundation. In the English here, it says, let us move on toward maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance, etc., etc. It doesn't mean have your foundation here and move away from it. That, I don't know if you've ever built a house or not, but it's common sense. You don't lay a foundation and then go build your house somewhere else. He's saying grow up on this foundation. And I struggled, and the commentators struggle. Why are these things the foundation? Why did he not say Messiah's the foundation? Why did he not say that the resurrection of the Messiah, the cross, those things are the foundation? Well, because of this, all of these things here are things that we find in the Tanakh. We find all of them in the Old Testament. We find all of these things in Judaism. Okay, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, but let me capsulize here. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. They understood dead works. They understood repentance. I read Isaiah chapter 1, and God is saying, you know what? Your Sabbaths mean nothing to me. Your sacrifices mean nothing. You're trampling my courts because these are dead works. Because while you're bringing the sacrifices, you're cursing your neighbor. You're abusing the poor. You're not showing love. These are dead works. Turn from those. This is something we already had, right? This is our foundation. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of trust in God. Trust in God, that's a theme of the Torah. We had that way back in Genesis. My goodness, if Abraham didn't trust God, I don't know who has. Right? This is not new. This is foundational. Abraham trusted the Lord to the extent when God said, go sacrifice the son you love to me. Abraham didn't just climb that mountain. It says he woke up early in the morning to go do it. How many of us wouldn't wait and say, wait, maybe I heard wrong. Maybe God will come in and change his mind. Let me procrastinate on this. Abraham got up early in the morning because he trusted the Lord. God called Abraham to an unknown land. Abraham packs up and goes because he trusts the Lord. This is our foundation. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of trust in God, of teaching about immersions. Okay, and as I explained before, this is probably not talking about baptism, although baptism can be included in this. The Greek word's a little different. It's very similar. Baptismos instead of baptismo. And if you look at Hebrews 9, verse 10, he uses this same word, and it's definitely not talking about baptism there. He's not saying your foundation is that baptism when you came to be a believer and you surrendered your life to the Lord and you went under the waters and you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is not what it's talking about, washings. Some of your translations may say baptisms. Some may say immersion. Some may say washings. It's all inclusive. We had these washings in the Torah, in the prophets, in Judaism. You can't go into a restaurant in Israel without a little spigot and a little cup for the ceremonial washing to this day. There's washings in Judaism, and there's outer purity. There's the washing of the priests in the tabernacle and in the temple. There's washings of the sacrifices. We have washings. We understand cleanliness in Judaism. This is foundational. Laying on of hands. We have the laying on of hands in Torah. When do we lay on hands? Lay hands on that sacrifice to confess the sins and transfer those sins onto the sacrifice. We have that in the Torah. The laying on of hands to commission, where Moses commissions Aaron as the high priest. To this day, we have laying on of hands. When somebody becomes a rabbi, they call it smicha. Okay, that's like the ordination. Smicha means the leaning on of hands. We're conferring on you an office. We have these things already in Judaism and in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. We have this understanding already in Judaism. This is not new with Yeshua. Amen. Daniel chapter 12 talks about this. Some will be raised up. You will be raised. We will be raised up. Some to everlasting life. Some to eternal judgment. We have this already. What is he saying? He's saying, these are your foundation. Now let's build on it. He's saying, these are your foundation. Your foundation is not in Greek philosophy. Your foundation is not in paganism. Your foundation is not in Zoroastrianism. Your foundation is in Judaism. And that's part of the reason we exist as a Messianic synagogue. A big part of the reason we exist is we remind the church where their foundation is. Your foundation is in Judaism. You preach sometimes as if Messiah just appeared on the scene without any kind of background. There's a foundation there. There's a background there. You need to understand your Jewish roots. You need to understand these things because this is your foundation, but we can't stay there. We don't stay there. We don't stay at the same level as a Judaism with no Messiah. Messiah deepens every single one of these things. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. We understood that, but now in Messiah, we have something greater. We have what the Torah couldn't do. Like let's take a quick look here at Romans chapter. Let's start at chapter 8. Let's start at chapter 7, actually. Verse 21. And Paul is bemoaning the struggle with sin. He says, so I find the principle that evil is present with me, the one who wants to do good. I want that repentance from dead works that Hebrews is talking about. I want that I want it. Do you want it? We want it. We want that repentance that Isaiah talked about and that Hebrews talks about. We want it. So I find the principle that evil is present within me, the one who wants to do good, for I delight in the Torah of God. I want to do these things with respect to my inner man, but I see a different law in my body parts, battling against the law of my mind and bringing me into bondage under the law of sin, which is in my body parts. Miserable man that I am. Do you see the struggle here? I want to do right. I want that resurrection life. I want that repentance from the dead works, but I'm struggling against my own body and my own mind. I'm miserable. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. It is through Messiah, Yeshua, our Lord. So then with my mind, I serve the Torah of God, but with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Messiah, Yeshua. Okay, and in my Bible here, it's actually a picture Bible. You got a man with his hands like this spread out and the sun shining on him. He's free from those shackles because of the Messiah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh, God has done. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as a sin offering, he condemned sin in the flesh. And so we always have that foundational level of stop with the dead works. We always have that foundational level of you need to repent. My goodness, if there was any message that the prophets gave, it was a message of repentance. But now in Messiah, Yeshua, God has crucified within us that which kept us from really doing that. That which the Torah could not do, the Messiah did. Not that the Torah is bad. It's not saying that. It's saying the Torah is good, but you're bad. I'm bad. So the Torah couldn't work through us. It hit a brick wall. I want to produce a righteous people. I want to produce a righteous people. We kept falling and falling. And God says, you know, I'm going to send my Son so that there's now no condemnation in you. And so foundation level, yes, we have repentance. Don't stay there. In Messiah, you don't just have repentance. You have God helping you die to the old and live in the new. Trust in God. My goodness, trust in God, right? How has that been come to full fruition in the Messiah? Because you have him with you. And we have the testimony of his death and the testimony of his resurrection. And we have the Spirit of God. That trust should be deeper now in the Messiah. Of teaching about immersions. In Judaism, we have the washing of this and the washing of that. And it's all outer cleanliness. But now you have a washing of the blood of the Lamb of God for inner cleanliness. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, right? It used to be that you were cleansed ceremonially. Now your very conscience is cleansed. This is deepening of the foundation. The laying on of hands. It used to be that rabbis were commissioned by the laying on of hands, or the high priest commissioned by the laying on of hands, or sins transferred to a sacrifice by the laying on of hands. What happens in the new covenant with the laying on of hands? Healing? And the anointing of the Spirit of God? Read in Acts. The disciples laid their hands on people and they received the Spirit of God. Is that not deeper? You can have your rabbis. I want this, you know? I want to be able to lay my hands on people, have them receive healing, and have them receive the very anointing of the Spirit of God. And what he's saying is this. You're wanting to leave the Messiah because of suffering and because of persecution. It would just be so much easier if we just didn't have that, right? If we just didn't have Messiah, we just had Judaism, we would be so much more accepted, right? And this happens. And sometimes what happens is people don't deny Yeshua completely, but they water down the message. And they say, well, we believe in Messiah, but he was a great prophet. He wasn't anything much more than that, right? Or he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't divine. In every cult that I've ever had interaction with, there's always a watering down of the Messiah. There's always a watering down of his divinity, that God himself didn't somehow actually come and dwell in our midst, and that gets watered down. And it happens in those who have called themselves Messianic congregations, thankfully. It's not common, but it's happened. You know what? We're going to distance a little bit from the Messiah. We want to be like the rest of Judaism. We want the acceptance. And sometimes you become quite popular that way. If you can come up with a new teaching about Messiah, he wasn't really divine. Oh, you're so enlightened. Okay? Forget that old Christian dogma stuff. You're so enlightened. And what he's saying is, you don't understand what you're wanting to give up. You're wanting to go back to the foundational level, outer cleanliness, okay? An attempt to repent of dead deeds. You don't understand, in Messiah, how everything is deepened, how everything is real, how everything is made full, and you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back. Let's continue on, verse 4, Hebrews 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, having tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and having tasted the good word of God and the powers of the Olam Haba, the world to come, and then have fallen away, to renew again to repentance, since they are again crucifying Ben Elohim, the Son of God, for themselves and publicly disgracing him. When I first became rabbi, just a couple weeks into the job, some lady calls me up. And she says, you know what? I had all these things he's talking about here. She pointed me to, it's a phone call, but she talked about Hebrews 6. She said, you know what? I had these things. I tasted of the heavenly gift. Now, when we say in English, I tasted something, it means, you know, I had a little bit, you know, a little tastier. Maybe a little hors d'oeuvre, maybe a little parsley or something. That's not what the Greek here means. And what it means here is you participated in this. You participated. She said, I participated in the heavenly gift. I was a partaker of the very Holy Spirit of God. I tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and then I fell away. And I think this is teaching me that there's no way back. Isn't that what it sounds like? I think this is teaching me that there's no way back. That was a tough question for me. And probably what I should have said is, I should have said, you know what, let me study this passage and get back to you. Anyway, I muddled through some kind of encouraging answer, but I understand it better now. And the word we need to emphasize here is repentance. If you can repent, you're okay. Your heart has not been so hardened that you can't come back to God. As long as you can repent, what he's saying here is that you be careful, because if you fall away from the Lord and you are publicly disgracing him, you're saying, you know what, I partook of these things, it's not worth it. That's what you're saying to the world. Once you give your life to God and you turn back, you are on dangerous ground. Because you have said, I'm a child of God, and then you said, you know what, he's not worth it. You are publicly disgracing him again. And if you go down that path, you're going to end up with a hardened heart that will not allow you to repent. If you're to the point where you can repent, you're good. You're good. Lord, I'm sorry. There's something still good in you. God still has his hand on you. Yeah, you went through some hard times. You sinned, whatever. But if you can repent and you have that humility, so you're good. You're okay. Do it. Repent. Come to him. Don't worry about these verses. That doesn't apply to you. But if you purposefully turn away from him, there might not be that softness of heart anymore where you can go back to him. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is so concerned with. Be careful. There may not be any way back for you. If you fall away from him, there may not be any way back for you. So verse 7, for the earth, having soaked up the rain frequently falling on it, brings forth vegetation useful to those for whom it is farmed, and it shares in God's blessing. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed. Its end is to be burned over. Thorns and thistles, right? That should sound a little familiar to you. That's what God said the earth would bring forth for Adam, right, when he cursed the ground because of sin. Instead of bringing forth fruit, it's going to bring forth thorns and thistles. It's cursed. You're cursed. He's saying, how can you receive these good things of the Lord? How can you taste of the world to come? How can you participate in the very Spirit of God? How can you participate in life from the dead and then not produce some fruit? Right? Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 25. So starting at verse 14. For it, meaning the kingdom of heaven, is like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and handed over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, okay, a measurement of money, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one with two gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought another 5 talents, saying, Master, you handed me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. The one who had received the 2 talents also came up and said, Master, you handed me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master responded, You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you should have brought my money to the brokers, and when I came, I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to the one who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw the worthless servant out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a tough parable for a lot of people. But the message is so simple. It's the same message here as the parable in Hebrews chapter 6 of the field. You've received so much. Where's the fruit? You have received so much. You have received of the Spirit of God. Why are you not talking about Messiah? Why are you not worshiping the Messiah? Why are you not sharing his love with others? Why are you not praying for Israel's restoration? You have received. What have you received? What does it say that we've received here? Tasted of the heavenly gift. Become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Tasted the good word of God in the powers of the world to come. God has shed his rain on you. He's poured out rain on you. He's planted you in good soil. He's poured out his life for you. He's blessed you with all these things. Why would we produce thorns and thistles? Why would we go back to the time of Adam's curse? Why? That's the end of that field is to be burned with fire. But, verse 9, Hebrews 6, verse 9. But even though we speak like this, loved ones, concerning you, we are convinced of better things, things coming with salvation. Boy, oh boy, what a roller coaster ride here, right? What a roller coaster ride. Okay. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm in this congregation where, you know, we've got a Jewish heritage, okay? And we understand stuff. This letter of the book of Hebrews, it's tough stuff for us. This congregation that the writer was writing to, they understood stuff. Feeling pretty good, you know? Feeling pretty good. And boy, if chapter 6 hits, it's like, wow, I need to be careful. I might be burned with fire. I might fall away permanently. Chapter 6 hits, and he's getting our attention. And he's saying, be careful. You might fall away to the point where you can never be brought back again. Your heart will become too hard. Bam. That's the drop. That's the roller coaster drop. But then this, you know what? I got your attention, but let me give you some words of encouragement. But even though we speak like this, loved ones, concerning you, we are convinced of better things, things coming with salvation. And that's the way I feel about you guys and about this congregation here at Tikvah Ami. Okay? We've been through some difficult things. I personally have been through some difficult things. But I have a good feeling. I just need people, and I have you, right? I need people that are going to stand the ground with me, right? And then we're going to see the fruits of salvation brought forth, right? We are convinced of better things coming with salvation. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and love that you showed for his name. And having served and continuing to serve the Kiddushim, the saints, the holy ones. But we long for each of you to show the same eagerness for the certainty of hope to the very end. So you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those inheriting the promises through trust and perseverance. Good things are coming. How do we get there? We keep our eyes on the Messiah. We build off of the foundation. And we understand the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not work like any other kingdom in the world. Okay, I don't know if you're watching politics or now or not now. It's like a TV show now. It's like a drama. You know, I'm not going to judge the candidates themselves. I don't know them. I don't know where they are genuine or not genuine. But the whole spectacle is ridiculous. And it's not kingdom of God stuff. Okay? And maybe there's some staying true to their message, and I don't want to judge all of them. But some of the stuff going on and that has gone on and that's been said, and it's ridiculous. It's not kingdom of God kind of attitude. I'll tell you what I hate. I'm going to tell you what I hate. I remember, what was his name? Oh, my goodness gracious. The guy that ran for president, the Republican, he chose Sarah Palin as his running mate. McCain, thank you so much. McCain, running for president, chooses Sarah Palin. Sarah Palin, and maybe I shouldn't talk about politics at all. I don't know. Chooses Sarah Palin, and people got, a lot of believers got excited. Oh, she's a genuine believer. And I'm not going to say she's not. But I was so disappointed after he announced her, and she got up on the stage, and she starts mocking the Democrats. It's like, that's not the type of attitude. You've placed politics above who you are as a believer. No believing politician, no believing anybody, should come out and start mocking people, even to win an election. Yes. Better to be faithful to who God has called you to be and lose the election. Yes. You know? And we've got to understand the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God does not work like politics. The kingdom of God does not work like any government. Because in government, what makes right is might. Okay? Largely. You know? The one who has the most votes, that's the one that should be in charge. The one who has the biggest military, that's the nation that's going to have power. That's the background here in that Roman background. The Rome controlled pretty much all the known world in that area because of their might and their laws and their this and their that. And Yeshua comes in and he says what? He says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. He says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Everything that Rome wasn't, Yeshua says, that's what's blessed. He doesn't say, blessed are you because you have the bigger sword. Blessed are you because you have the bigger military. This is not Machiavelli. This is totally different. And that's what we need to be. We need to understand this kingdom of God functions this way. He laid down his life for us.
we'd lay down our life for him. If you don't want to be the sluggish ones, if you don't want to be the immature ones, then we need to stop grasping for power. We need to stop grasping for our own blessings. We need to stop, because when we start doing that, you know what? Yeshua gets in the way. Yeshua gets in the way. Yeshua didn't come to make sure that you are comfortable. He didn't. He didn't come to make sure that you have enough money to pay your cable bill. In fact, he said, you know what? You're going to be rejected because of me. The members of your own house are going to reject you because of me. But because he's worth it, we lay down and say, you know what? I'm going to follow him no matter the cost. I'm going to be that field that doesn't just soak in the rain and say, give me more, give me more, give me more. I'm going to be that field that produces the fruit. And what kind of fruit? It tells you what kind of fruit right here in verse 10. God will not forget your work and your love. Your work and your love, that selfless love that Messiah did, that sacrificial love. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we glorify you. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, we thank you. We have received so much in the Messiah. How dare we fall from that or water down the message that God himself visited us? How dare we do that? We will not do that. We will stand firm, and we will be that field that doesn't just soak in the good things. It starts there. We'll soak them in, and then we're going to produce fruit for you because we love you, Lord. We're going to tell people about you because we love you, Lord. We're going to minister to the poor because we love you, Lord. We're going to pray for the ill, and we're going to visit them because we love you, Lord. We're going to forgive as we've been forgiven because we love you, Lord. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you for this passage here in Hebrews that gets our attention and says, you have so much in the Messiah. Do not fall away. Don't fall away. You have so much. Your life might be made uncomfortable. You might endure persecution. You might endure suffering. Look, we in America, we don't endure anything like they do in other parts of the world. People are giving their lives because they believe in Yeshua. Because they'll say, you know what? You can become a Muslim or you can die. And they'll say, you know what? I'm going to stay a Christian. I'd rather die with the Lord than live and not have him. And so that's what we need, right? That focus on the Messiah says, this is the pearl of great price worth selling everything else for. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought us into your kingdom. Help us to live it and move forward in the victory of that kingdom by laying down our lives. In Yeshua's name we all say, amen.